Oh, well, happy New Year to all of you, and I hope all of you have had blessed holidays, and here we are, start of another brand new year. I love that scripture about God saying, see, I am making all things new. One of the things I love about getting Christmas cards are some of the pictures that people will send with them, and I especially love seeing the family groupings. I love looking at and seeing kind of the family resemblances. I don't know about you, but for me, I know we can look at pictures taken decades ago from some of our old family albums of people whom we have never met, and yet we can see our faces and their faces, like same nose or color of hair or body shape or smile or whatever it is that connects us to family. And yet the opposite can also be true. In the same family, people can not only look differently, but they are different. Their personalities and interests vary so much that it's a wonder that they even came from the same gene pool. Families. Families are where our identity and sense of belonging are formed. In healthy families, people are allowed to change and to shift as the years fly by. And yet, I know too many families where people get stuck. They get stuck playing out the same roles over and over and over again. In such families, the holidays can sort of blend together because there's the same conversations, the same dynamics happen over and over and over again. I sometimes think that, gosh, if we would just set it all to music, some family gatherings can probably be like a fully scripted grand opera. Identity is a little like a birthmark. It can be stubborn to remove. It can be awkward. It can be easily confused with something else. But it's yours. It's yours. Jesus himself is preparing to be marked by John the Baptist in our gospel story this morning. John's work is well underway by the time Jesus shows up on the scene. John has been, for quite a while, preaching his message of repentance to the people of Jerusalem and Judea, calling for them to come and to confess their sins and be baptized. Today, he's preaching on the banks of the River Jordan, and folks are flocking to hear him. Have any of you ever made that journey to the Holy Land and stood there on the banks of the River Jordan? It really does kind of change a person once you've been there and seen what might have been the setting. All kinds of folks are coming to John, including the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These people are the favorite enemies of John the Baptist, and they later are going to become the bitter enemies of Jesus. And they're also bitter enemies of this gospel writer, Matthew. Always interesting to note. John is not real pleased to see these high and holier and mightier than thou religious folk coming amongst the crowd. He sees their presence as being insincere and hostile. And John shouts out to them, "Oh, you brood of vipers!" And John warns them to flee away and tells them that their confidence they have placed in their own righteousness is totally wrong. John tells them that he baptizes with water, but the one who comes after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there. This is Jesus' cue now to arrive on the scene. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But it turns out that the one who will baptize has not yet been baptized himself. Now John's surprised by this request. And at first, John tries to kind of put it off. But John is not the first person to be surprised by the actions of the Messiah, and he certainly won't be the last. Because Jesus already is asking people that he encounters to kind of shift their perceptions of him, and not only of him, but also of themselves. Before Jesus came down to the river, John was just so sure of who he was and what his message would be. So John gives consent to this baptismal plan. And then it gets real crazy. Jesus is lowered into the muddy water of the Jordan River, and as he emerges, the heavens open to him, and he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And then it's something like out of a Hollywood movie, a voice from heaven speaks, "This is my Son, beloved, with whom I am well pleased." If John was not convinced that God was involved in his earthly work, certainly the presence of doves and heavenly voices at this strange baptism may just do it for him. For his part, Jesus is silent. Maybe he's also a little bit freaked out by this heavenly display, or maybe he's just trying to take it all in. Either way, this baptism has marked him, even though the Messiah is already in his DNA. Even though Father Abraham is in his family photo album, as the gospel evangelist Matthew likes to always make clear, the next place that Jesus goes will not be to a royal court, but out into the desert. Do you have any sense, see what is happening here in this very short piece of gospel story? John the Baptist is handing over the reins, and he's not real sure at all what that means. But Jesus has gone from being a peasant rabbi to the Messiah after one dunk in the river. Baptism is still what most Christians do after all these years since Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And we do baptism differently from denomination to denomination. And the differences generally center around infants or adults sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. What does this baptism story, though, really have to do with us today? If we were baptized, and I would guess that many of us here today have been, it means that we have been marked. This mark, this birthmark, is invisible, but it is just as real as any birthmark. When we were baptized, we were called beloved. We were claimed by God to be God's children first and foremost. That news is not only comforting, but it's transforming. Garrison Keillor says, "Baptism is about finding the answers to life's persistent questions. Two questions specifically: who are we and what are we supposed to do?" Lifelong questions. First of all, who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Well, let me tell you, you are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. You are the one with whom God is well pleased. You are a unique, wonderfully made, precious creation of God. You are the apple of God's eye. When you were baptized, we all said words meaning of stuff like that. And we only said those things because God said them first. In the waters of baptism, we find out who we truly are. And that brings us to that second question, what are we supposed to do? Well, when Jesus rose from the waters of baptism, It was to go out and get busy with the business of God. If you share in Christ's baptism, you have been claimed for that very same work. That mission has been handed on to you. Your life is not just about you anymore, because you are caught up into something so much bigger than you might even understand, comprehend. Your baptism made you a member of the body of Christ, the church universal, the family of faith, the community that keeps on doing what Jesus did. We've been entrusted with the message of God's inclusive love. We are the ones to tell this world about God's inclusive love in a world that so desperately needs to hear it. We've been given God's mandate to care for all those on the margins, the widows, the orphans, the outcasts, the poor, the stranger, the refugee. We are the people who will bear witness to God's reign of peace and justice until that reign comes on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're here to do. And each one of us has a crucial part to play. You are irreplaceable. Hear that. You are irreplaceable. As you live into your baptism, your life will matter more than you can or ever will know. You were baptized just like Jesus before you. So remember, reaffirm it, give thanks to God, and then go out now, and then get busy into the business of God. Proclaim the goodness and grace and totally awesomeness of the unconditional love of that God of all creation. Oh, I love how Jesus put it. I love this little bit of scripture, how Jesus said, You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that all people around you will be moved by the good things you do to glorify God in heaven. You have been birthmarked for a life that is rooted and grounded in the very truth of God's love. If you live into that love, the world will not mistake you for somebody else. You will be exactly who God intended you to be. God's protecting grace will hold you, and God's all-embracing love will enfold you now and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.